Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and thank you once again for tuning in. Today we have Daniel Jordy. He is the managing director of LeadersBridge.org, which is a company that connects leaders and organizations and partners to come together so that they can build and create new things together. He brings CEOs and entrepreneurs together in a program. It's so cool if you're a business person. This is an insanely unique and creative model that he developed. But in today's episode, we dug in. Daniel was really willing to share his journey where he started as a real estate agent. He was a recruiter. He eventually realized that he was actually a connector. He was a person who brought people together. And with that understanding of himself, created parties, created these events that people wanted to come to, and that eventually led to a business model. And underneath all of that was this insane effort on his part to trust his intuition, to trust who he is, to really dial into that inner intuition and let that be a guiding force. He's a great story on our favorite topic of authenticity, how to lead a life that really deeply is aligned with your beliefs. So cool model, really great conversation. Tune in, check it out. If you want to find out more about him, you can find him at Daniel Jordan. It's jordico.com. jordico.com. We'll have all the links on the website as always. And thank you guys for tuning in. If you have a minute, hop over to iTunes. If you like what you hear, every little bit really helps you guys. Write a review, subscribe, tell a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. Welcome you guys to the next episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe. And today we've got Daniel Jordy joining us. Hey, Daniel, how are you today?
Hey, Laura, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
And you're calling in today because you live in two locations. Where are you calling in from?
Yeah, I'm right now in Poland. I spend a lot of time here. We have a place here. And then I'm originally Swiss. So my company is also based in Switzerland. But because my wife's Polish, we travel back and forth with family and everything.
Yeah, I thought that was such an interesting combination, Switzerland and Poland, and going back and forth and honoring both families. And it's just amazing in today's world that one can do that, right?
Very much.
Well, all the way from Poland, I just love that we can have this conversation, and it sounds like you're next door. For everybody out there that hasn't heard of his work, this is somebody who really thinks about how to bring people together, how to get decision makers and influencers together so that they can actually make impact, do interesting things, make a positive change. And so if you wouldn't mind catching everybody up, you're the director of LeadersBridge.org. Tell us about this business, not only, you know, how it works, but also the sort of what got you into this? What was the impetus for you to want to be a change maker who brings this together, right? Because you are also what you aspire other people to be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so in terms of this whole world of being the connector, making the connections, I mean, subconsciously, that's always been the case for me. So when I was like 19 years old, I started out in real estate, so super, super early. And I just thought this idea of connecting people to houses was really, really interesting. And then a short while after that, I started to move into recruitment because I was inspired by this idea of connecting people with people and people with companies that are matching. So I did that for about 10 years. But, you know, during the time I did it, I never considered it as a thing of connections. I only saw that later down the road when I look back and I said, well, it all makes sense. Mm. And it was early 2013 when I started my company that was under a different brand back then. And it was mainly a consulting company for the past couple of years. And one of the things that I did was I was running a private gathering. So the first one that I hosted was with 25 people that I basically picked from my clients. So I worked with quite a lot of clients by then. And I just reached out to everyone and I said, you know, we just had the work relationship really on Skype. So because they were spread all over the world, how about we get together, you know, meet everybody else, meet me, that would be great. So I reached out to everybody and said, let's go to Zurich, you know, who knows, maybe you come, maybe not, because I thought there's probably going to be five people showing up because most people were spread all over the place. And what happened was, at that first gathering, there's about 20 people showing up, and they showed up from literally everywhere over Europe. So they flew in from Paris, from London, from Stockholm, from Germany, from Spain, I think Portugal. They flew in for an actual after work drink because that was all I was doing. I was just getting people together at 6 o'clock in the evening till 9 o'clock in a bar for a couple of drinks. But people literally flew in for that.
And why? What did you tell them was going to be there? Like a magical show? I mean, that's sort of unusual, to say the least.
Like, it's very unusual, yeah.
I mean, was it because of the relationships you had with them? Like, were you just...
Later down the line, I figured out what it was. I mean, I basically told them very bluntly what it is. I said, we're getting together for a couple of drinks in a bar. If you want to come, you come. That's pretty much what I said. I didn't try to persuade them in any way. But the reason they came was because, I mean, I asked them that question, obviously, because I was so amazed. Like, I thought they, you know, initially I thought they were crazy. Like, why would you fly in right, just to get a couple of drinks? Like, you know, with others, maybe with me, I don't know. But what I figured out, what people told me is there's two aspects of it. The first one is they always say the same thing. I trust you. I trust that when you do something, it's going to be legendary. That was the first one. And the second one was the people, I knew that I'm going to meet people there that I would usually never meet. Not just my colleagues or the people that I already have in my network, but people from other areas, other industries, other sectors, other generations, other countries, people that I usually would never probably meet anywhere because it's in a different world, basically. Yeah, so that's kind of like what people said. Yeah, just kept hosting these private gatherings over the years, about every 3 or 4 months or something like that. And what started to happen is people at the private gathering, so it was always different people. Some people came over and over again, other people joined, but it was always about 25 to maximum 30 people. And what happened is, out of all the activities, there started to be obviously friendships and great conversations, but much more than that, there was a lot of new business generated. There was new companies started, there was conferences created, there was partnerships done, there was investments done. Over about 20 million Swiss francs in new business was generated just because of all these activities. And I was completely amazed because I never expected that kind of an impact. I mean, just looking at it from a money perspective to measure it in some way, I was completely amazed. But then everything else that came out of it as well, which is, you know, people got to speak at TED, people got to, you know, be speakers at other conferences, people got to do joint ventures with people they never even thought they could do anything with. It was absolutely amazing.
Okay. I don't even know where to start with the questions. because what I'm curious about is I'm a connector, I'm recruiting real estate, and people are saying it's legendary and I trust you. So take us back even further, just for a second, just humor me. When did you really, I mean, I wish all of us just were born with a manual and we knew my core competency is connector. We see the things we do and we call ourselves a real estate agent, in my case, an entrepreneur, but I was in fact a builder, right? I wish we knew the actual word behind the activities we use, because that's more valuable. Then we can apply it all over the place and actually think about, you know, if I'm a connector, in what ways do I want to connect? I'm really not a real estate agent. I'm a connector. But I love that. But when did you start realizing that you're somebody who builds relationships? Were you the young kid who was, you know, pulling all the people together? Was this something in high school, college, you can look back and say, God, I was always like a center hub? And when did you start making relationships that built up to this community of people to fly in, right? Like, was this something that you started at a young age and it's just, you know, you've got the little black book that's, you know, 50 pages deep, or, you know, tell us a little bit about the backstory on that part.
Yeah. So actually it took me a long time to get there. So first of all, back at school, I had almost no friends.
No, come on. So,
absolutely. I was always the weird kid that nobody wanted to hang out with. So
isn't that interesting?
Saying that I was a connector back then was definitely not the right word because probably I just looked at the world in a very different way. Certainly didn't know that I was a connector back then. I probably always was, but I never approached things in a way that people wanted to connect with me, I guess, back
then. Interesting.
So that was my school time. But after that, so I got engaged in this connecting piece very early on, but I didn't realize it until much, much, much later. So when I was 19 years old and I started in real estate first and then pretty quickly in recruitment, what I would do is I was 19 or 20 years old, right? I was always the young kid at everything that I did. So there was no way I can match myself with, you know, the senior executives that I was talking to by saying, oh, God, I got the same amount of experience like you or something like that, right? They always looked at me as the young kid when they saw a picture or something like that. So I had to figure out a way to actually build trust, because there would be, you know, with other people, they may do business just because of the price. You know, if that would be the only reason I would go there, they would laugh at me, right? So I had to build trust, and a lot of trust. They had to love me in order to do business with me. So I guess I used that as a motivation. I had to use it as a motivation to figure out ways to build trust with people very, 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 very quickly, so that I would be able to, you know, get along in business and make sales and actually build a business. So I tried to do that, I guess, from the very beginning. But it took me a while, because like my first boss just handed me a list of people to cold call all day long, and I said that's a very stupid way of doing things. So I very quickly just started to use social media. It was like I was probably one of the first people on LinkedIn or in Xing, and I just started to reach out to people and very casually say, hey, you know, I'm going to be like next door next Wednesday. Do you want to grab a coffee? And most people just said yes. And they didn't need a specific reason, because, yeah, I guess there was something in the message that I used or something in the way that I communicated that made them say, yeah, it sounds like an interesting guy. Let's go for coffee. And then I would just take it from there. I would just meet with somebody. And even if they didn't give me any business or something like that, I would just say, so this other guy is in charge of this, right? And you say, yeah. So tell me a bit more about this other guy. And then he would tell me a bit more about this other guy. And he said, okay, so can you make an introduction? I'd love to talk to this guy as well. And most people said, yeah, sure. Let me introduce you. Some people said, yeah, let's go for lunch together next week. And that's how I, you know, started to realize that I am that connector, because I just naturally, first of all, I naturally connect with people that way. But I'm definitely not a networker. So if you put me in a room with 500 people, I just want to go home. I don't want to talk to anybody, because I know every single conversation I'm going to have is totally shallow. I'm not interested in that. But put me in a room with 20 people and I walk out with everybody as a friend, basically, and everybody wants to, you know, do business with me. So that is, it's once again, it's also a very different way, because some people say, oh, you're a natural networker. Hell no, I'm not a natural networker. You know, in most cases, I do not want to talk to too many people. I just want to talk to the right people at the right level in the right depth.
And that's the thing I think that's so interesting, is that instead of just shaking hands with a lot of people and thinking of networking in that way, which a lot of people do, you're really suggesting that this is about creating rapport and trust with people so that there's a relationship. Do you study different ways to do that, or was it something that came naturally to you?
So I tried to study it. I tried to read a couple of books on stuff like networking, but the thing with that term is it's just like there's all the shallow stuff usually out there in the book. So I was totally turned off by this. That's why I almost never used the word networking except in a negative sense or to be not in relation with networking. But basically, it was learning by doing. I learned it the hard way by just picking up the phone and calling people, figuring out, okay, that doesn't work, trying something else, that doesn't work, until I found my natural way of doing things. But it took me many, 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 many years from starting to figure out what is natural to me to actually seeing a pattern, to then actually being able to say, okay, so this is who I am, to then to the next step and saying, okay, so this is what my business is going to be, because it's going to be completely built around this idea of being the connector, of connecting, which a lot of people talk about, but I think most people have not also figured out how to actually run it like something that makes sense.
I love that you said it took you years, because there's so many people on the internet who say, you know, oh yeah, I did this and in 6 months I was making, you know, seven figures. And it's so frustrating to me, because most people who are actually successful, who are, you know, able to get people to fly in from other countries for legendary parties, it took longer. So I appreciate you saying that. I got to ask one last question on this point before we move on, but what's legendary about your parties? I'm just intrigued. Do you have like, are you a party theme, a maniac, or what goes on there?
Well, not really. I mean, it's it's, I mean, I sometimes I call it a party, but really what it is, it's a bunch of business people getting together and having some drinks. I mean, that's really what it is. It's, there's nothing legendary about, you know, having a DJ or something like that. Oh. Actually, when you look at it, it looks like super boring from the outside. It's just a bunch of people in suits and sometimes one guy with a polo shirt, but usually it's just business people chatting with each other. But like what's legendary is the people there, because most people who go to conferences or meetups or stuff like that, they either go to these networking places where either people come up to you and say, oh, I'm looking for a job, or they say, hey, I got this insurance company, you need insurance or something like that, right? That's usually a networking event. Yeah. Or they go to a conference where there's the 500 people and, you know, they attend a couple of keynotes or something like that. They may learn a little bit here and there, but the connections they make, once again, they're merely just for selling. And what the difference is, what I create is I have this natural ability to design alignment into everything I do. So what I mean by that is when I get two people together, it doesn't matter if they're completely in different areas, they don't even know what the other person really does. They get along so incredibly well. And I naturally built this alignment of values into everything. I cannot do anything else. It's impossible for me. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So everybody that basically gets together, meets and comes to these gatherings, just gets along with every single person. And they have the most incredible, most deep discussions about, I mean, anything from business to spirituality to literally anything the first time they meet. So what I created there is a place of trust. They don't need to go there and meet somebody for four times for, you know, a couple of days to trust them. They know that when they go there, they can, even without speaking to somebody, they can trust them because that piece is built into it.
And so what are you have core values that you look for people. Is this something that you've actually written out and that, you know, you hold to and find out, or is it just sort of a sense that you have with people?
Well, it's both. On the one side, I have it, like everything I do, I always write it out, I strategize everything, and then usually I throw it away because our human language and our human ability to express things is so incredibly limited that gives no credit to what's actually possible when we just trust our intuition and our gut feeling. So, you know, I've got all the stuff written down, but maybe it makes sense in 10% or 20% of the cases. So it's not very valid, I would say. What's always valid is my gut feeling. So I very much trust my intuition. Like I'm just bringing on board somebody for a new role in the company. And I talked to two people. One of them is much, much more experienced, but I had a bad gut feeling. And the other one is less experienced and not sure if she really fits in, but I had a great gut feeling. I'm certainly going to go with the gut feeling. There's no way around that because I know that when I don't trust it, everything goes to hell.
Isn't that weird? I swear to God, there's so many times in my life when I have all these logical reasons why my gut instinct is off. And I just say like, come on, Laura, this is crazy. You can't, I know your intuition is saying go left, but this is crazy. You have to go right. And then I wake up like a day later, a week later, whatever it is. And I think like, I almost start laughing now. I'm like, really, you know better at this point. It's always left. You have to just trust even when it seems slightly illogical. So from all of this networking and building and the philosophy behind it, you built up parties and that's where this business came from?
Well, actually, the first couple of years, there was no business model at all in this private gathering thing. It was just a thing that I did because I love it so much. I cannot not do it. And because it creates so much value for the people, but there was zero business model in it. What I did is just consulting. So every now and then I would get a consulting client from one of these private gatherings until the point where I said, okay, you know, the consulting is nice and it's okay, but it just pays the bills. It's not my real passion. It's not the thing that I'm born to do. I'm born to connect. That's what I should do. So what I started to do is just interview people and like do really in-depth questionnaires and say, what's going on? What are your projects? What's happening? Because I wanted to figure out what is it really that they're looking for? And what would they be willing to pay for? So I did a really in-depth questionnaire with everyone. And what I figured out is that the people that I attract the most, they are basically very high-level buyers. So they usually have budgets in the millions that they spend every single year. So they're the actual buyers usually in the marketplace, from anywhere from, you know, just IT companies or, you know, CEOs of fast growing companies. I mean, anything like that. So these people started to ask me for recommendations. So I talked to the CIO and we talked about his project. He said, can you recommend a partner company for the implementation? And I said, oh, let me check my network. Obviously, that's what I do. So I went out to a couple of the people that I knew and asked them, would you be interested in, you know, getting access to that new business, which is basically there on the silver platter, because everything, you're basically coming in at the end of the sales cycle. Would you be interested in a deal? And most people said yes. So I started to negotiate and started to get the first couple of partner conversations there with the solution providers. And now the concept is evolving. And it's literally completely changed the way I look at business, because the consulting, when I look back now, the consulting was such a small thinking. Like before, I was like, that's great, you know, it's great money in consulting. When I look back, you know, it's such small thinking, not only from the potential of the revenue, but also from the impact, and also from the way I'm able to show up, the way I'm able to be myself in everything I do and be the connector.
I love it. I love that, you know, there's just so many things for everybody listening out there. I hope you're catching these key concepts. You know, the reason I interview people like Daniel and everybody else on the show is there's these concepts that flow beneath the stories. He knew who he was. He's a connector. He leveraged the thing that he knew he was because he loves it. It's what excites him. And from that excitement came these inspirations and these incredibly innovative new ideas. And so, you know, it's like, how do you contribute to the world in the best way possible? Learn who you are, bring that forward, and, you know, create something from that deeper intuition, right? And trusting your gut. So if there's a story out there that is authentic, Daniel, you're like nailing it on every single.
Yeah. And I just want to add something to that, because, you know, you mentioned it before, you know, it took me years. It didn't only took me years, but I've probably taken every personality test that exists in this world. I've taken all the passion tests and all the purpose tests and all the assessments that you can possibly imagine. I mean, just name one and I probably took it. So, I mean, it was an insane amount of work that went into it. But here's the other side of it. I tried to so much dig into this from a logical perspective that at most points, I was so confused that I had no idea who I really was. So it helped me in some points. In most points, it absolutely didn't help me, because I was so caught up in my head. You know, that's my passion. So it's this word and it's this thing and that's my purpose. And I got to be able to put it into one sentence and all of that stuff, right? Which, I mean, looking back now, I think it's hilarious to just talk about it. It's just, it's absolutely hilarious, because I don't think there's any way you can do that. The way I arrived at this place is, and it may sound really, really fluffy, I know, but to really just trust. And my coach used this perfect two words to describe it, to have fierce faith, basically. Fierce faith that, you know, tomorrow is going to be better than today. Fierce faith that there, you know, the passion is going to show up. Fierce faith that my talents are very, very valuable in the marketplace. Like that fierce faith. That's kind of like the way I look at this.
I love that you said that. And it kills me that we think of trust and faith in yourself as fluffy. I mean, that's just, I just want to pause on that, because like all of us, well, I shouldn't say all of us. I'm included in that group. For people out there, I would assume there's a lot of you who feel this way. There's sort of the fluffy thinking people who are walking around like, you just have to believe in the passion. I feel as if those people are actually misusing the concept as well. Like when I just sit here and meditate, the answers will arrive. I think it's both, right? Like you have to be in the world and doing things and be activated. And so people who are activated really don't like to talk that way. But it's the combination, right? It's activated, but it's not white knuckling, right? And I'm right there with you. For so many years, I was like taking all those tests and doing the, you know, introspection and thinking and thinking and thinking. And it's that process of like, I need to find my passion. I mean, it's so funny, you know, that you would think that you'd get there, but we rely so heavily on our analytic minds. And as soon as I let go and let that information be a guiding post for your intuition, right? They work together. And so all that stuff was great. I'm glad I took the personality profiles. I took a bunch too, for the record, and, you know, had a coach and everything. But then you have to let go, open yourself up, surrender to the possibilities, recognize that, you know, your limited thinking is so much smaller than the potential that might actually show up in front of you. So you want to trust and walk through it and surrender into it. And that's when the great stuff happens. Would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you mentioned this about sitting on the park bench and meditating. I think that's, you know, it's sort of like, it's almost always in everything, there's people either talk about black and or they talk about white. And I think it's because the marketing value of black and white in those extremes is much, much higher than, you know, something in the middle.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it always is the middle. It always is the middle that actually works. So yes, you got to be present. Yes, you got to be able to tap into that awareness, into that consciousness. But at the same time, I mean, that's at least my belief. Now, once again, everybody has its own belief. That's okay. My belief is that this is not enough. You got to be, because the way I look at it is, you know, when we look outside of the window, we see the physical world. We see the buildings, we see the birds, we see the blue sky, we see the stuff that we know. But then there's another side of it, which is the stuff we don't know, the stuff we don't see, which is sort of the metaphysical piece. And I believe that it only works when both worlds come together. There's neither, you know, either just living up there somewhere, because then you're sort of like out of touch with that world that you're sent to, I guess. And at the same time, if you're just stuck here, so to say, and have no connection to that higher power, well, you're just stuck here.
Yeah. No, I completely, like I say this a lot on the show, but I, you know, if you want to be a Buddhist monk and sit in meditations for 6 hours a day and just really try to tap into that inner spirituality, that's a different thing. But for most of us, it's right that there's the world around us and then there's our experience within the world, and they both matter, and we want them to work in unison. We want it to be a natural sort of iterative flow state that moves us through the world, and you can't do one without the other. And when you find that balance, which is why the show is called The Art of Authenticity, because I think it's an endless tinkering. I mean, you're always playing with it. The world gets really intense and loud, and you have to work harder to find that deeper self. And sometimes you get too deep within yourself and you're kind of in a bubble and you need to snap out of it a bit and just keep walking through. And, you know, I thought at one point I wanted to find that point and stay there, but I realized that there is no there. It's just something that is ever flowing and moving. So Daniel, this conversation, I wanted to go here with you because I know behind Leaders Bridge, where you connect organizations and bring people together for opportunities, entrepreneurs, you have this really cool model that I'd love for you to talk to. But behind it was really this passion. And for people listening who are looking for what they want in their life, I just thought this is such an inspired story. Plus, it led to a really unique, innovative model because you followed that gut, that intuition. So could you tell us a little bit about the business, though, and how it works?
Yeah, so basically, it's actually fairly simple, although I tried to very much complicate it over time. But I think that's what we do as human beings. The simplest way to basically paint the picture is in the middle, there's Leaders Bridge, which makes sense, right? Because it's the bridge. Then on the left side, there's, I call them solution partners. So they are companies with, well, solutions, anything from IT outsourcing to executive search to innovation to, well, lots of different areas and then niches as well. And on the right side, there's basically two different groups within a community. One group is, I call them entrepreneurs. The other one I call executives. Entrepreneurs are CEOs of companies between 50 and 200 employees, usually in the very much cutting edge technology field. So they are basically ones that make the future. And then you got the other group, which is the executives. They are usually CIOs and CTOs of a large, usually non-IT corporations. So they are usually ones that are hinking behind in terms of the digital transition and in terms of, well, getting into the future. So these are the two groups. And if you just look at the right side by itself, what we do, we have four different initiatives that we run. First one is an interview series, just like basically you do. We have a video interview series and we're just launching a podcast very soon. It's called The Aligned Leader, where we basically featured those people in the community. Just got one this week with the CEO of an incredibly amazing artificial intelligence company that basically invented one of the first cyborgs. So, I mean, just like absolutely incredibly visionary people there on the entrepreneur side. And what we do is we interview them, and then we have a larger community that we share that with. And it's also an incredibly powerful platform for them. Once again, it acts as a connector, because whenever I've done an interview, a couple of weeks later, people reach out to me and say, I never expected this, but I got a couple of people reaching out to me. And then some people say, I hired this person because of this. I started doing business with this person because of this. So once again, that just acts as a connector by itself. The second one is the private gatherings that I mentioned before, where we bring those two groups together, the entrepreneurs and the executives. Basically, those two different worlds, we bring them together in the private gatherings. And then the third one is the Access Panel Program, which is a 3 month advisory board where we get the entrepreneurs and executives together. It's purely virtual right now to make it really simple and really flexible. And basically what happens is it's a bit like a mastermind, like a peer-to-peer group, but in a much smaller setting. Sometimes it's one-on-one, so one executive, one entrepreneur. Sometimes it's one entrepreneur and three executives. And depending on what they're looking for, what their needs are, what their wants are, we basically put them together and we give them suggestions saying, you know, you should meet every 2 weeks. So we're not completely rigid about it. We say, here's some suggestions, because we're not interested in controlling the actual process. We're more interested in making the connection, which is what we're best at, and then letting it flow, because we know that's where the most value happens from the past. And the fourth one is the CEO Collaboration Day, which is basically a one-day event organized around five different themes, anywhere from emerging technologies to digitalization, globalization, culture, leadership, talent, things like that, where once again, those two groups come together and they have a peer-to-peer exchange, basically. Now, the business model is very simple. We don't really make any money on the right side by itself. So this is not a for-profit on the right side, where the revenue model is basically on the left side, the solution partners come in for specific needs that the community actually needs. So maybe from one of these collaboration days that there is discussion about a certain topic, about a certain challenge, and then they get the solution on paper. And then after that, somebody needs to actually do the work, right? Yeah. Sometimes it's their team, sometimes it's an external resource, an external solution provider. What happens is, because we are the trusted resource for the community, they come to us and say, can you help us? We need this, we need that. And then we basically put them in touch with the right solution providers, and the solution providers pay us a commission. So that's basically the business model.
Yeah, it's awesome. I swear to God, if I had had anything like this when I was in a business, I had my own company. It's just so powerful. It's tremendous. Congratulations on coming up with such an innovative model. So Daniel, I ask everybody who comes on the show, and I want to turn the show to this segment, what does an authentic life mean to you?
So an authentic life to me really means living in alignment with your values. Now, you know, very, very conceptual, right? So let me give you a couple of examples, or an example from my. So there's been countless situations where I didn't live an authentic life because I was completely out of alignment with those values. For example, you know, in my recruitment career, when I started to do the cold calling and everything and try to sell as hard as I could, not only did I hate it, but it was also incredibly hard. It almost never worked. And it was, that's for me, that's an inauthentic life. Nothing works. Everything is hard. And it's just basically you feel miserable. And it's because of the way you approach things, because of the lens you look it through. And what I realized in that is that you don't even need to change what you're doing. I didn't need to change getting out of recruitment or something like that. The only thing I needed to do is realign what I did with who I am. And who I am, basically what I mean with that is my core values, which are mostly freedom, impact, and connection, if we have to put it into words. And so what I did is I reorganized the way I work according to those values. And then suddenly everything started to literally flow, to use that beautiful word, mm-hmm. because everything was effortless. It started just to show up, like out of nowhere, all these weird things started just to happen and show up where I go like, I don't even know where it comes from, but thank you.
Right. That the person all of a sudden reaches out from an email that you're like, that was exactly what I needed today. That's so weird.
Yeah, exactly. Guy goes like, oh, I just saw your email that you sent me 3 months ago. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did you find this email?
That's awesome. And you mentioned you did all the self-help tests and you worked with a coach. What would you say were the most important routines or rituals or things that you did to find a life that was truly meaningful to you?
So one of the most impactful experiences was getting started with my coach about 9 months ago. Now, I call her my spiritual teacher. She hates when I call her that.
Because my clients say these things to me and I'm like, stop.
Yeah, because she always says, you're your own teacher. You do your own stuff. You know, I don't teach you anything, you know?
Yeah.
So she's my spiritual teacher. But she's also an incredibly bright businesswoman. She used to work at Wall Street. She used to run an entire call center company and everything. She used to... she's now a very, very famous and a very successful stock trader and also has run countless businesses. But she's like so tuned into this spirituality that I was completely amazed. I've never, ever seen anyone before have those two worlds combined. Most of the time it's, okay, you're either rich and you're miserable because, you know, you're just attaching your self-worth to your money, or you're broke and you're spiritual and you're happy. And she was one of the first ones, or pretty much the only one that I really know, who has mastered that intersection. So I'm incredibly grateful because I think she doesn't coach anyone else anymore. I think I'm the only one that she coaches still. And I mean, it was just an incredibly powerful experience for me to understand that spirituality is not something out there, something up there, or something somewhere else, but it's basically... Well, everything that we have, I mean, everything, like my table in front of me is energy. Everything is literally energy. So if everything is energy, then everything has to be connected in some sort of way. And everything has to be and can be influenced by every other piece of energy, right? And once I started to understand that, I started to realize that there's no difference or no gap between this spirituality, which is like, for me, spirituality was, I was like, okay, so you feel happy, you feel fulfilled, and you feel good, even if you're broke. If nothing works, if you're spiritual, you're just happy. That's great, right? You can be living on the street and everything, and you're still happy. So at one point, I realized that with that consciousness and that awareness about this new field that I really never experienced before, I was able to, I think it's an overused word, but to manifest is probably the right word, it into the actual business world. So just a couple of weeks ago, I signed the biggest cash deal, the biggest contract of my entire business and career. The week after that, I signed the most profitable deal and the most profitable contract of my entire career. So I very much believe that this is because of the work that I've done, because a year ago, I couldn't even imagine anything like that in any way. I had not even the thinking and the vision of any of that. So, I mean, what I learned is really that these two worlds are just basically one that we live in, and we are part of both of these worlds.
I love it. I love it. Couldn't agree more. As an entrepreneur who found spirituality later and as life changing, this is what I believe in and teach, and it is the two worlds coming together. It is not one or the other. And I love how you've said anything, and I appreciate so much that you came on the show and shared your thoughts and your honesty with everybody listening who's thinking about what they're looking for in their authentic life. Daniel, thank you for joining us today. For people who are looking to find out more about you or your business, where can they find you?
So there's either LinkedIn, just a LinkedIn search, Daniel Jordy. I'm probably one of the first ones showing up. There's leadersbridge.org, which is the company page, or there's the blog where you can also download the PDF that I created, which is called the 23 Mental Triggers That Make Busy People Say Yes, which is at jordico.com. So jordico.com/mental-triggers.
Thank you, Daniel, again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.